Welcome to Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. This podcast is produced by Shipley Coaching, where discovery inspires growth.
Hi, I'm Margo Myers, a leadership and executive coach, and I coach people on leadership, communication, and career success. On this podcast, we are talking everything coaching. And today, as we continue to cope with the COVID-19 pandemic, we are dealing with so much change that we're seeing in our careers, change for family members, certainly change in our communities. So how do we navigate through times of stress and uncertainty? Joining me today on the podcast is executive and leadership coach Anu Arora. She's an embedded leadership coach at the Puget Sound Naval Shipyard who comes from the world of technology. She held a role as director at Microsoft before moving into coaching. And she is also the current president of ICF Washington State. So thanks for joining us today, Anu. I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Margo. It's my pleasure to be here.
We are talking about practicing mindfulness and breathing and how that can help us cope, especially during these challenging times when we may find ourselves feeling in need of calm and dealing with stress. So let's start out with the basics. Let's start out with what is mindfulness? How do you define mindfulness?
So you're so right, Margo, the current times we are in and how, important it is for us to practice mindfulness. But before we do that, let's start with what it is. Most of the times, Margo, we operate from what's called the default mode network of our brain, which means that's the autopilot, you know, the monkey brain, which is either ruminating or daydreaming, either in the past or in the future. And our whole lives can go by without being really awake. Mindfulness, on the other hand, is being present in that moment, right? Not in the past, not in the future, and without judgment. Can I live my life in this moment? And that is all what is mindfulness.
Why is the without judgment part so important?
Why is it good to be awake? For a few reasons. Because mindfulness is that wakefulness state. First one is that when we are in this default mode network, we are a lot of times in the sympathetic nervous system. And as you know that, there is more stress and higher levels of cortisol, and all those are even causing additional stress, leading to lower immunity and illness. In the state of mindfulness, especially if we start to practice it, different parts of brain light up. To name a few, it's the hippocampus, which is the center of our learning, is the temporoparietal junction, where compassion and empathy live. And also we see that the amygdala shrinks. And amygdala is the one which is known to hijack our rational part of the brain to cause that fight, flight, freeze, and appease reaction. So not only do we have this, what's called the task positive network of brain light up, which means that it's no longer about me, and me in the past, me in the future, this is happening to me. I can look beyond myself. I can have compassion for others. The second thing, Margo, is the neuroplasticity. We know this, that adults can also form new neural networks. It's not just limited to children. And in fact, connections are being made on a daily basis. When we make these connections, we need to practice them because they're like dirt roads. And if we don't, make a habitual way of coming to it every day, that dirt road will slowly have grass there and it'll turn into forest again. So The second advantage is that this practice of mindfulness will build neuroplasticity. And third one is that it pauses that monkey mind. It allows us to really live life in being awake, awake to the new possibility in every single moment.
Yes, my monkey mind really gets going about, every morning about 3 a.m. when I'm trying to sleep. That's when I need to practice my mindfulness. So one of the things that I've noticed in recent years as mindfulness and meditation have grown in popularity, a lot of people use them, you know, interchangeably, thinking that they're the same thing. And they're really not the same thing. Can you explain the difference between mindfulness and meditation?
I think mindfulness is a way of meditation, you can say it, because I could be meditating on, for example, I take an orange and I start to take its peel off and I am involving all my senses into it. I touch it and I feel the skin of that orange. I peel it off and I feel the juice coming out of the skin itself. So all that is being focused on that orange, and that could be a type of my meditation, but meditation is beyond that. Meditation is when really everything pauses, that monkey mind becomes completely still. Mindfulness can be a way to get there, but it's not meditation.
So I know that when you worked at Microsoft, someone suggested to you that you try meditation. What happened with that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I was trying meditation. It's typical form. Went for a class and they said, yeah, just sit down and just try to quieten your mind. And the more I tried to quieten it, Margot, the more it was out of control. It was like, you know, you get a new puppy, which is not trained, you know, that dog which likes to bark and all the neighbors are looking at you when you take that dog for a walk. And it was that. There was just more noise than ever. And the more I tried to shut it up, the more my mind was becoming creative. I was solving world problems in meditation. And so the meditation was very hard. And then I approached this teacher afterwards. And I asked her, I said, I can't meditate. And that's when she suggested that, why don't you try breathing practices? But meditation was hard.
So you tried the breathing practices, and what happened?
That appealed to my rational brain.
Of course it did.
The engineer I am, right? Oh, I can count. It had math involved. It said, you know, count to, you know, inhale to a count of four, pause for a count of two, exhale for a count of four. As you are inhaling, focus on pushing the air down into the diaphragm. All that made sense to my logical and rational mind. And I could do it. I could really, really do it very well. And the interesting thing was that it had the same magic as meditation had. In fact, it also allowed me to later go into meditation. If I could start with breathing practices, I could just follow it with meditation and my mind would then just completely quieten on its own. I didn't have to push it.
So is it possible for you to walk us through a couple of different breathing techniques that we may want to try on our own?
Yes, totally possible. The current times are stressful and there are breathing techniques and management for almost everything. I do cleansing breaths, which is what I usually start with, which is, you know, more focusing more on exhalation, throwing out the carbon dioxide, cleansing the lungs, and then follow it with energizing breaths, which is more oxygenating, taking more oxygen in and focusing on inhalations. Now, one of the breathing techniques which has been super useful in moving us from sympathetic nervous system to parasympathetic nervous system is called the deep breathing. And so let's practice a few different breathing techniques, and you can do each one of them as many times. Some are better for, sleeping. So I would encourage you to do when you are not working, unless you want to sleep at work. And so I'll let you know when that one comes up. But this one, the first breathing technique, where we are going to inhale through our nostrils, exhale through our nostrils, and pause momentarily, keeping those two breaths equal, is the deep breathing practice. So let me explain it a little bit. As you breathe in, you're pushing through the diaphragm. So you're breathing into the lower parts of the lungs. So our lungs have a capacity of about 6 liters. That's how much air they can hold. Most of us are taking about 40 to 50% of that air. That's how much we are using our lung capacity. Most of the times we don't use the lower lobes. In fact, the lower lobes have the stale air because we are breathing just into the middle part of the lungs. So this is where we're breathing into the lower part of the lungs, pushing the diaphragm down, the stomach comes out. And as we exhale, the stomach goes in. So let's try this together. We'll inhale for a count of four. We will pause for a count of two. We will exhale for a count of four. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold the breath inside, 2, 1. Exhale through nostrils, 1, 2, 3, 4. And do another round. Inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Pause, 2, 1. Exhale, 4, 3, 2, 1. So that's the first technique, Margo. Were you practicing here with me?
I was, and this is so great because people listening to the podcast, I mean, they can actually do this as they're listening. So this is great, Anu, thank you.
So let's do another breathing technique. And this one is exhaling through mouth, but we are retaining the breath inside for longer. And again, it's just helping us oxygenate our system better, improving the lung capacity, improving our physiological health, are giving us the benefits of meditation and mindfulness. So let's do that. It's called the 4-7-8 count breath, where you inhale for a count of four, you hold the breath for a count of seven, and you exhale, but you open your mouth a little, and so you exhale through your mouth, inhaling through the nostril, exhaling through mouth. The count is 4, 7, 8.
Let's
try it. So inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold the breath, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale through mouth, slightly open, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're going to do it one more time. And again, it's belly breathing. So you're still, your tummy is coming out as you're inhaling, tummy's going in as you're exhaling. It's also called the diaphragmatic breath. So inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Exhale through mouth, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How did that feel, Margo?
Relaxing. I can feel my shoulders relax, actually.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
So just simple.
I carry all my tension in my shoulders.
And that's where most of us do, right? Mm-hmm. So and this helps. Just the posture is important. And as you sit, keep the spine tall, your crown of the head is lifted, and then just feel that expansiveness in the lower parts of the lungs.
Yeah, those are very helpful. And I love the count, you know, that I can just do it along with you. So that's great. Do you have one more for us?
One more. And this is the one which is really an entry into meditation, because you like entry into meditation is through either you focus on a sound, you focus on breathing. So this is the one where we focus on the sound. So here you inhale and as much as you can. And then as we are exhaling, we press our lips to make a bumblebee sound. And it sounds something like this. Let me just first demonstrate that, and then we'll demonstrate the whole thing. And again, the really, really fast way to move us to a parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay, so kind of like a hum, almost.
Like a hum. Okay. Like, yeah. So let's try that. Inhale through nostrils. And as you exhale, you press your lips and make that hum sound. Hum.
How long do we do the hum?
As long as you can.
Oh, okay.
As long as your breath will allow you to. You want to try it with me?
Let's. We better do it one more time.
Yeah. Inhale. Deep, long breath. And exhale, pressing your lips, making that hum sound. And then just close your eyes and sit with that sound. Let the sound permeate into every single cell of your being. And you feel that. You feel the energy. You feel the calm.
I do feel that. It is calming.
Yeah. So those are some of the breathing techniques. They have become my go-to. I do them every single day. In fact, like mindfulness, like meditation, this is also setting those new neural pathways and reinforcing them. And practice is what's most important.
Do you recommend that we, you know, if we like one breathing practice more than the other, you know, is it okay just to use that one? Or should we do a combination of all three?
You can do any one. I mean, the three which I have showed you, they can be done at any time. I had another one, which is the one where you have trouble sleeping, and that is 3-12-6 breath. 3 inhale, 12 hold, and 6 exhale. But I would suggest that comes after you have practiced the deep breathing itself, the equal part, because holding for 12 breaths might be difficult initially.
Okay, so I'll have to have you back and we'll try that one when we get into advanced breathing techniques. My other question for you, is there a certain time of day that we should do these, or can we do these even in the middle of the day when we are feeling stressed?
Anytime you're feeling stressed. I have done them before a meeting, you know, sometimes just to calm my nervous system. Sometimes before a talk or something important I'm going to go do. Just anytime you feel that your shoulders have started to hunch up, there is a tightness in your belly. Anywhere, if you're feeling tightness in your breath, listen to your breath and see if the exhale feels a little tightened. Exhalation is just so very important. It's more important than inhalation. Because ventrification of the lungs happens during exhalation. So throwing down out carbon dioxide is as important as taking oxygen in, if not more, for de-stressing the system, or calming the system, just listening to your breath and seeing where it's stuck, listening to your body and where is it stuck, and just breathe into that.
And you just mentioned something that I think is so important. And when we are so caught up in the whirlwind of day-to-day life or the whirlwind of worry or whatever is going on with our lives, it's taking the time to listen to what our bodies are telling us.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think that makes a big difference. And just, you know, am I stressed? Are my shoulders tightened up? Do I feel it in my stomach? Am I starting to get a headache? What is this telling me? Maybe I need to stop and slow down and practice some of these breathing techniques for a minute or two, right?
Yeah. And as Margo, as a accomplished coach, you are so aware of that, and you coach your clients also through that, you know, to listen to their body and to observe what's happening within them. And so now they can have a tool that they can practice once they observe it.
Absolutely. Well, this is wonderful. And these are just some of the breathing techniques and things that we can try as we work through these certainly challenging times. So thanks for joining me today, Anu. I really appreciate that.
Thanks, Margo. It's been a pleasure and a great opportunity.
Well, thanks. We hope you'll join us for the next episode of Coaching Conversations with Margo Myers. And don't forget to check out the Shipley Coaching website at shipleycoaching.com. That's where you can find articles, you can find links to podcasts, and you can also learn about our programs, including our ACTP coaching course, as well as how to find out how to partner with us for our leadership engagement course. We're here to share discovery that inspires growth.